Welcome to the Jungle. I am Jim Rome. It is a three-hour program, and we are into hour number three already. It is so good to have you here. What's cracking? Program is brought to you, as you know, by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage happens to be with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Just had Jamal Crawford on, 19-year NBA vet. Coming up later on this hour, a cornerback for the LA Chargers, Chris Harris Jr. Telephone number is toll-free nationwide, 1-800-636-8686. I will get those calls up a little bit later on, but the NFL draft is coming up, and we are trying to get as many draft prospects on this show as we possibly can. I have found another one. He is a former offensive tackle from Iowa. He was a Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year. He was a first-team All-Big Ten player. He was an All-American, a Class 2A Offensive Lineman of the Year at Mount Vernon High School. Multiple state championships in the shot put and the discus. He was a state wrestling champion his senior year. Not a bad resume. 2020 NFL Draft gets underway on April 23rd. Tristan Wirfs is my guest. Tristan, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. So I mentioned off the very top that you played your high school ball at Mount Vernon High School. Let me start right there. Mount Vernon, Iowa. Mount Vernon's got a population of about 4,500 people. What was life like for you growing up there?
You know, I love being in Mount Vernon, you know, with a small community. Life there was pretty much just sports year-round, you know, going from each sport, you know, with all your buddies. You know, when I was a kid, I'd go to the pool. I lived a block from the pool. I was there every day, all day with my friends. You know, we'd be at the pool, go to baseball practice when we were kids. I can't count on my fingers how many times we rode our bikes all the way around town. But, you know, I loved growing up there.
It sounds like a great childhood, actually. Now, because of what you've done at the Combine and in the Iowa weight room, there are some legendary stories about you. For example, there's a story that when you were throwing the discus in high school, you once threw it so far in practice that it went over a fence and landed on a tennis court or in a tennis court where people were playing. Is that story true? And if so, what do you remember about that?
Yeah, that's a true one. it was the end of my junior year when I started throwing it over the fence. And the girls' tennis team always practiced when I was, or, you know, we'd have practice at the same time. And I remember, you know, it went right. I mean, it was kind of a scary story. Like, the disc went right next to the girl's head. And so they're like, okay, we got to figure something out. So I'd have to practice at a different time. You know, I'd practice after they practice. But, yeah, end of my junior year, I started throwing it over a couple times. And my senior year, that's, you know, all senior year, I had to practice at a different time.
Tristan, I've heard a lot of stories. That's one of my favorites. I'm not making light of it. You're right. Like, I'm chuckling, but it's not funny. But the fact that you had to change practice time so you wouldn't hit any of the tennis players with a discus is pretty amazing. There's also a story of you playing football your senior year of high school, and you dropped a ton of weight to wrestle, and you won the state title at 285. Like, how much weight did you lose, and how did you go about losing it?
Yeah, it was just about 40 pounds. Like, I was weighing 325 at the end of my football season. I think that's what I weighed in the first day of wrestling practice. And I think it was like 38 pounds, 37 pounds, something like that. But, you know, I kind of – it was really difficult, you know, right at the beginning, because I went – you know, every year I wrestled was – you know, I could eat whatever I wanted. I could – you know, I was still, like, putting on weight, you know, for football and everything. And then to have to, do a complete, you know, 180 – you know, my senior year and try and lose all that weight was pretty difficult. I spent an extra time in the restroom after practice was over, drilling with my coach. You know, I put on, you know, my sweatshirt, my sweatpants and everything, and, you know, keep running. I'd go up, after I was done, there was a little gym right up in the middle of town, close to my house. I'd go up there. I'd be out there on the Aerodyne bike, the assault bike, you know, with my, I'd wear a garbage bag and more sweatshirts and everything. And my mom kind of helped me out too. She made me smoothies in the morning. You know, they were tiny, you know, I couldn't have very much, but, you know, she'd make sure I had, like, the vitamins and nutrients I needed. But yeah, just completely changing my diet and trying to sweat as much as I could.
Tristan Wirfs joining us. I'm glad you mentioned your mom. I'm going to ask you about her in a minute, but dude, how hungry were you at that time?
It was pretty crazy at the beginning. You know, I was really hungry, but once I got down to 285, you know, you kind of get used to it, and it wasn't as bad. But I think I was definitely pretty ornery. You know, I can imagine, you know, my mom dealing with that, you know, cause going from, you know, her making me, you know, a ton of food at night, you know, after football practice and everything like that to, you know, I get home and she would like bake cookies or something. I'd be like, I would just turn around and leave. I was like, I can't be in the house with cookies and everything. You know, I'm cutting weight.
For sure.
But yeah, I was pretty hungry.
All right. So people around you talk about your work ethic all the time and the type of work you put in. I would ask you where that came from and where the approach came from. But your mom, Sarah, worked very long hours to provide for you and your sister. How much did you learn from your mom in terms of that work ethic and the ability to grind?
Quite a bit. You know, so she's worked at Target for 28 years. And just, you know, growing up, you know, she'd work overnight. You know, she'd get home when we were leaving for school in the morning. You know, some days she'd wake up, you know, at 3-4 a.m. and go in and work through the night and then come home at, you know, 3:30 in the afternoon. So, just all, you know, watching her, you know, grind for all those years. And then, you know, at the same time, you know, her doing that, struggling with bills and then still allowing me, you know, getting me equipment I needed to play sports. You know, like I thought to myself, I was like, why would I make this go to waste? You know, why would I slack off or why would I not, you know, want to be the best in all these sports? Because she's just allowing me to play them, you know.
Tristan Wirfs joining us, no doubt. Now, from the outside, the combine seems like kind of a weird event. Like, you're doing all these drills that aren't exactly football drills, and then you're meeting with teams, and sometimes they're asking you weird questions. What was the overall experience of the combine like for you?
You know, I thought it was pretty fun. It definitely, I think, tough. You know, you have all the psychological exams. You're meeting with all teams, which, you know, your first couple you're kind of nervous for. But when, you know, I had quite a few of them, so the nerves kind of went away when I was meeting with the teams. But and then getting to go out on the field and you know, do the drill, like the 40, the vertical, the broad jump, because, you know, it's what you watch when you're growing up. You see all these guys doing those things, and to be out there on the field and you know, actually get to do them was, you know, what I was looking forward to most.
Well, you did extremely well, and people who know you knew that you were going to do something special at the combine. Some of that goes back to what you did in the weight room last March. Before we get into the day itself, there was a tradition and a legacy, of course, of offensive linemen at Iowa. We're talking about the likes of Marshall Yanda, Brian Bulaga, Brandon Scherf. When you're an offensive lineman at Iowa, how much pride is there in upholding and maintaining that great tradition?
I think there's quite a bit of pride. Like, we have this saying, it's called leave the jersey in a better place. So, you know, you're swarming out of the tunnel. You're going out there every Saturday, you know, for all the former Hawks that there've been, you know, especially for offensive linemen. Like, there's so many guys that have upheld that tradition and that legacy. And you just want to be, you know, you just want to be able to put your name, you know, down in the history books, you know, down in the record books, you know, with those other guys.
All right, so sure, back in 2014, he set the 3-rep record for the hang clean. It was an absolutely amazing performance. But last spring, you were putting up some numbers, and the thinking around the program was you could break that mark. 1 week before max out day, you hit 420 for two. How did that feel, and what kind of number did you have in your head going into max out day?
Yeah, so that I still have the video. Coach Doyle, you know, he recorded it for me, and just because he told me, he's like, watch it 100 times, you know, ingrain it into your mind. And he, you know, when I had the 420 on the bar, he just said, do it as fast as you can, move the bar as fast as you can. And like, I stroked the 420 and it, you know, I was feeling really good. And when he sent me that video, I think that's what I did the whole next week. I can't count, you know, how many times I watched that video. And I remember the night before I had a dream about the hang clean. And I, you know, every time I go to do something big, I always have a dream that I forget how to do it. Like I forgot how to hang clean. But, you know, I came in that day and, you know, all my teammates are like, oh, what are you going to, you know, how much are you going to have? You know, like, what are you going to do? And, like, I didn't know how much I was going to have, you know, on that max out day. Coach Doyle knew. And I remember going in there and I gave him my card. And he kind of, I looked at it and it only said I had like 435. And he took it and he scratched that out and he wrote 450. And I was like, okay, I guess it's time to go. I'm getting my goosebumps talking about it just because it was so much fun that day. But I remember went over, I put my, you know, put my straps on, went and got my chalk on my hands, and I put my belt on, and I turned around, and like all my teammates were around, you know, the coaches and my teammates were there, getting, you know, pumping me up. And I remember the first, I picked the bar off the rack, and it felt a lot lighter than 450 that day. I think all the adrenaline and everything. But I remember the first rep, it came up a lot higher than I thought. It almost hit my chin, and you know, I was just feeling good, and I kept going. I knew I needed three to break the record, because I had, you know, I had a little bit more weight, and I went for four, and I got it, and I threw the bar down, and I went and celebrated with my teammates.
Hey, just so we're clear about this, you did 450 for four, so you didn't just break the record, you smashed the record. Watching the video, for those who have not seen it, the entire weight room is going crazy. What do you remember about that moment when you celebrated with your teammates? What did that feel like?
I honestly can't like describe the feeling. Like I was just so excited, and to have all my teammates, you know, excited for me, you know, was a pretty special feeling. I think it kind of represents the bond that we have. You know, we go through so much work throughout the off season. Like I think Iowa has one of the toughest off season programs. But just to do that with all them there and you know, supporting me was pretty awesome.
So the expectation, Tristan, is that your name is going to be called very early in the draft. What do you think it's going to feel like when your name is called and you know where you're going and you're going to be able to take care of your family?
Just like a dream come true. You know, I mean, I think when I was in kindergarten, you know, I knew I wanted to be a football player. And just to finally have that come to fruition is going to be pretty awesome. You know, my mom's worked hard for quite a long time, and, you know, to be able to pay her back and, you know, for all the work she's done, you know, for me and my sister is going to be pretty amazing.
So what do you think she'll do? Will she stop working, or is she not wired to stop working? What's her plan going to be?
You know, I couldn't tell you. I don't know if she could just completely stop working. I don't know if it's in her nature. I think she'd get too bored sitting at home. So hopefully maybe she'll keep working, but hopefully just not near as much.
Preach. He's a Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year, a first team All Big Ten player and All American. And I ran down a list of the other accolades as well. Big day coming up, the NFL draft. It is April 23rd, and he will go early. Former Iowa offensive tackle, Tristan Wirfs. Tristan, great to have you on the show. Good luck with that, and I'll look forward to seeing where you end up.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Great talking to you. Another good young man. Great story. Tristan Wirfs, NFL draft prospect. And they've got a great tradition of offensive line play at Iowa, don't they? Coming up at 40 past, Chris Harris Jr. We'll close the show like that, which means I've got one more open segment for you. So get up in here. 1-800-636-8686. Man, I'm busting with pride. Another good show today. We're not done. We're not done yet. No victory laps. We're not patting ourselves on the back yet. Got to finish what we started, but another good show. Lots of good content. Thinking about doing another deep dive tomorrow on something and somebody. Not sure yet. I might do it. As soon as I know, you will know. Rit, you now have permission to get me to break. Okay. When we come back, open segment for you. I may or may not give you what you want as opposed to what you need. I'll think about it during the break, and then we'll come right back.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. We are close. We are convenient. We are known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service. From professional parts people you know you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. My thanks to Tristan Wirfs. Chris Harris Jr. coming up at 40 past the hour. So yesterday afternoon, I saw something on Twitter that normally I would scroll right by and do my very best to unsee and forget. Something I've got less than no interest in, and something that does not make me or anybody else better for having seen it. And especially at this time, I'm trying to do things that make me better and the show better and the world around me better. Now, I'm fully aware that some of you have a very different set of standards for what constitutes making the world better, for what constitutes good, important, and critical content. And it's why I have the talk show and the microphone, and you do not. Because if this was your show, and you were programming it, and you were making all the decisions, the show would be nothing but Toby and Houston resets, super idiotic self-glossing, and a grip of tired, fat jokes. And then the show would get canceled before the second segment. However, given these troubling times, given these stressful times, given where we find ourselves right now, I do ask myself, James Philip Rome, can you make an exception? Can you drop to the clones level? Can you this one time give them not what they need, but what they want? If not for 5 minutes, if you know it will pick them up and make them happier. In short, instead of giving them what they need, can you make the exception and give them what you want? What they want? And the answer is, I think I can. Maybe. I'm willing to give it a try. Now listen, if I get into this and mid-thought I abort, it's because I tried and I couldn't do it. But I'm willing to give this thing a shot. Not because I want to. Believe me, I don't. And I already regret that I'm even this far and I haven't even started yet. But it's a troubling time. It's a stressful time. And I want to do something for you clones. It's kind of like where I let my kid play Fortnite. I hate myself for doing it. I don't want to give in. But the kid can't leave the house. The kid can't see anybody else. He can't go to the gym. He can't play baseball. These are long days where he's quarantined. I hate myself, but it's a stressful time. All right, go have an hour on your game. All right, clones, here are 5 minutes of the stuff that I never want to talk about. You want me to do things that I never want to do. But in times like this, maybe we all have to make sacrifices. And maybe I can too. All right, I'm going to give it a shot. Why don't we talk O.J. Simpson for a few minutes? Many of you degenerates are still fascinated by all things juice. Most rationally thinking people think this guy got away with double murder and has no business living on the outside. Yet here we are. Not only is the juice on the loose, but the juice is on the loose on social media. Being free when he should not be is not enough. He's got to run it in the face of 950,000 Twitter followers who then push his bizarre rants on fantasy football, politics, and wait for it, Tiger King, right down the line. That's right. OJ's got thoughts, lots of thoughts, and he's got thoughts on Tiger King. And not just Tiger King, but Carol Baskin. Baskin, as we talked about yesterday, is a central character in that Netflix doc. And if you ask most people to watch that show, they think that she did, in fact, kill her husband, her first husband, 23 years ago. Ran him through a meat grinder and then fed him to a tiger and got away with it. Many people seem to think that. Not only that, but the local sheriff's department, as I pointed out earlier in the week, has reopened the cold case in her old man's disappearance and hashtagged her government in the tweet. In other words, things are not going that well for Carol right about now. But just when you got, or when you thought they could not get any worse, Orenthal rushes in. He steps off the 18th green and he hands in the verdict himself to Twitter.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. I just got back from the golf course where I actually played pretty well. Now it's back to the couch and back to television. Listen, I've had so many people on my case asking me to watch some show called Tiger King. Well, yesterday I watched this show, and oh my God, is America in this bad a shape? The show is crazy, but it's so crazy you kind of keep watching. One thing I will say, there's not a shred of doubt in my mind that that lady's husband is Tiger Tsushima right now. I'm just saying.
I mean, I can do an entire program on what I just heard if I wanted to, but you know I don't, so I won't. But can we break that thing down really quickly before I get to my guest, starting from the very top?
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. I just got back from the golf course where I actually played pretty well.
Are you kidding me, Oj? Nobody gives a damn about your golf game, man. Stop. Nobody cares that you played well. You're like a murderer on a golf course during a pandemic. You should be behind bars, but instead you're out there swinging the bats when the rest of us are staying at home. Think about this for a second. Think about it. O.J. Simpson is more free than the rest of us non-killers. He's out on the track playing freaking golf when 95% of the golf courses in America are shut down right now. So either he's breaking the law or a code or a law, which would be very much on brand, or he's not, which is just a cruel twist of fate for society at large. Your muni is closed. His is not. Everybody is at home, but Oge is on the links. How's that make you feel? This dude's got more freedom than the rest of us right now, and he's shoving it in our face. And he's saying that he's swinging the bats really well. This freaking guy. Let's continue.
Tiger King. Oh, my God. Is America in this bad a shape? The show is crazy.
Did O.J. Simpson just call out America for its choices? After bragging about his golf game in a pandemic lockdown? Again, this freaking guy. Moving on.
The show is crazy, but it's so crazy you kind of keep watching.
Did O.J. Simpson just say the show is crazy? So crazy you kind of keep watching? Hey, Pot, meet Kettle. Kettle, let me introduce you to Pot. It's so crazy you kind of keep watching could be O.J. Simpson's entire Wikipedia page. Man, this dude's delusional. What else?
There's not a shred of doubt in my mind that that lady's husband is Tiger Tsushima right now. I'm just saying.
Let me go back to the days of elementary school and just say what everybody else is thinking after Oge just went on the record and said there's no doubt in his mind that Carol Baskin fed her old man to a big cat. Takes one to know one. Am I right, Juice? Like, takes a spousal murderer to know a spousal murderer? Am I right, Juice? O.J. Simpson publicly convicting somebody else of getting away with murder is the definition of rich. Man, it's beyond rich. It's a word that hasn't even been invented yet. It's mind-boggling. Truly mind-boggling. Yeah, and tone-deaf, right? And baffling. I mean, wow. Just wow. But then again, who could spot a murderer with their freedom better than that guy? Who's walked in those shoes more than that guy? It's where he lives. At this point, the sheriff's office, who reopened the cold case on Don Lewis, might actually call the Juice in as an expert character witness. I don't know who looks worse here, Oge or Carol. No one ever looks worse than the Juice, ever, except maybe this time. Maybe it's Carol. Carol just had the most famous would-be murderer who got away with it tell the world that she just got away with murder. Two of them should hang out and swap stories. Behind bars, away from the rest of us. And no, clones, I did not miss the part where Oge lifted up his hand to press stop on his phone and revealed to be wearing a glove. I did not miss that. Are y'all happy? In O.J. Simpson, Carol Baskin, spousal murderer take. Don't say that I never do anything for you, and don't say I didn't pick you up, because I feel so much worse for it. I feel like I did something really irresponsible when I've been trying really hard for several weeks now to be as responsible as I could possibly be. We did it. I hope you liked it. It's never going to happen ever again. Oh, just remember what I told you. DYA, delete your account.
There's not a shred of doubt in my mind that that lady's husband is Tiger Tsushima right now. I'm just saying.
They should show up with a warrant for her arrest. There's your evidence. Oge said she did it. Hey, dude, I got to ask you something. What's so funny? Why are you laughing at the end of that clip when you're talking about how a woman murdered her husband, ran him through a meat grinder, and turned him into tiger bait?
Tiger Tsushima right now. I'm just saying.
That's funny. Murder. Am I right, guys? She's a murderer. Am I right?
Tiger Tsushima right now. I'm just saying.
This dude. When we come back, Clones, hope you enjoyed that. That will be happening never again. And I wish it didn't happen. My fault, I did it. This is what I get when I give you what you want. This is why you don't get what you want. You get what you need. Chris Harris Jr. joins me when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Last segment. Good show. Really good day. Let's make sure we do the same thing tomorrow. We're all having a good day. What's going on? I am Jim Rome. Coming up this segment, we are going to have a conversation, hopefully, with L.A. Chargers cornerback and friend of the program, Chris Harris Jr. So I will F for that. In the meantime, I think I will duck in a telephone call. Let's go to Salt Lake City. We had this guy on hold. We lost him. I want to give him a shot to come back on. Spencer, nice to have you on the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Romy. Thanks for the buy, my friend.
You got it.
Hey, I just wanted to say I'm just pumped up about the Michael Bisping podcast interview. As you know, DJ Mikey B is a legend. This guy loses his freaking eye and just fights on, and he has to hide it from the commission and whatnot. I mean, I get a bad hangnail, and I'm ready to throw in the towel, so it's beautiful. I also feel like there's some similarities to your career where you guys both hit the scene just brash and unabashed, you know, before it was in vogue, and people really just weren't ready for it, and they just wanted to hate or whatever. You know, back in the day, especially in the UFC, you had guys like Chuck Iceman Liddell and Vanderlei Axe Murderer Silva and Rampage Jackson, and then you had Michael the Count Bisping, and I just feel like most knuckleheads just weren't feeling it. And, you know, it was a non-programmatic fit, one might say. But eventually you can't deny his moxie and grit, and he just turned from heel to hero towards the end of his career, so good for him. Moving on just real quick to the NFL, a few months ago on Radio Row, I think you had my guy Riverboat on, and it was just nice to hear the Skins actually repping and getting some much, much-needed jungle karma. And so the other night I'm watching the heralded GOAT Sims on the Bleacher Report, and lo and behold, my Skins beat the Cowboys on the last play of the quote-unquote game. And as pathetic as it is, and it is, but that was the best Skins victory I can remember in years. I mean, I was ready to throw on a Sean Taylor jersey and go all Mike Scott on somebody. But, you know, as bad as it's been for the Skins, it's good to see the infinite wisdom of Madden recognize that we still and will always be one up on the Cowboys. I mean, you are the Cowboys. So if you're the boy, then who's your daddy? Anyway, that's all I got. I said it once, say it again. You're the best, Romy. Keep doing that damn thing. I'm out.
Rack him. I'm going to ask the question once again. How is it that with nothing going on and no sports to talk about, the show is getting better, the callers are getting better? Part of the reason is callers are home and able to call when ordinarily they can't do so. Another good call. And it's not just a higher volume. There's a higher quality, too. More racked calls the last couple of weeks than in recent memory. Nice job. You know, I appreciate that analogy that he made between Michael Bisping and myself, that when we both hit the scene, people were not necessarily ready for us, kind of brash, kind of arrogant, that he was a programmatic non-fit. I appreciate the analogy, except for one thing. I never tried to do the show with a detached retina. Much less two detached retinas. I never tried to do the show unable to see out of one eye. He tried to fight. Not only tried to fight, but tried to fight several times, nearly blind in one eye. Not only tried to fight, but beat Anderson Silva like that. Not only tried to fight, but won the middleweight championship of the world like that. And beat somebody who was thought to be unbeatable at that time. And took that fight on 2 weeks' notice when he was out of shape. And was watching on SportsCenter one morning, nursing a hangover after having a bunch of beers the night before. And out of shape. And finding out that way that he was going to have that fight. Other than that, we're exactly the same guy. He also told a great story, Michael Bisping did, in this podcast about how he was living the factory life. He went on The Ultimate Fighter, and one of the great motivations of winning season 3 of The Ultimate Fighter was he didn't want to go back to working in a factory. And he talked about all the crappy jobs he had. He'd get up early, he'd go to work in the darkness, he'd get off, it would be dark again, there'd barely be enough money. He's like, yeah, man, I'm busting my ass, and I can barely pay my bills. I can barely get food on the table. And he got that chance with The Ultimate Fighter Season 3, and he won. But there was such a strong motivation, like, man, I don't want to go back to that life. I don't want to go back to that factory. And then he even said, to this day, I still have that motivation. Like, I do not want to go back. 1-800-636-8686. I'm telling you, it's a hard thing to explain. Not only are the shows good, they're getting better. They're getting better. We've got this momentum. I know it's not going to last forever unless we continue to grind it out. It just feels great right now. I love working anyway, but I especially love working during this period. And part of the reason is I'm getting good phone calls. Let's go to Los Angeles. Casey. Casey, what's going on, brother?
What's cracking, brother?
What's good, man? What's good?
It's all good, man. We more than appreciate you with all you do, all you've been doing, because obviously we all need it. Hey man, I guess OJ must be on the golf course still looking for the real killers. Dude, man, just go away. Just go away, go on an island somewhere, and become king of the stupid people. Because that's what you need to do. Get off my TV, especially right now. Hey man, I want to give a Chick Hearn story. Man, I did a game with Chick back in the day. Chick and Stu, quickly, I won a contest, call it live. I'm up in Portland. I'm going to do halftime highlights of a game. This is pre-Kobe and Shaq even. Magic is on the team. And we rehearsed the highlights. I'm so nervous. When Chick introduces me, I call him Stu, just like I just did. I call him right. Stu. He says, young man, if you do that on the air, I will hunt you down and make sure you never speak again. So we go to do the highlights. I'm still a little nervous. So we're going to rehearse one more time. And we do it, man. I nail it. Anthony Peeler goes to the hole inside, knocks down a three. I call it. I nail it. And then all three of us ask the producer, Susan Stratton. I don't know if you even know Susan. But we ask Susan, hey, where are we going to go live? And she goes, you just did. We all broke out in the biggest laugh. Man, he was the coolest guy. So was the late John Wooden. It's like, John Wooden, my birthday and yours is all wrapped around each other, brother. So, again, man, I more than appreciate you because we all need relief now and going forward. Peace in the Middle East.
Peace in the Middle East, Casey. Nice job. Wish I had his voice. He's got great pipe, doesn't he? That's a great story. That's a really good story. You mentioned, you don't know if I know Susan Stratton. I never met her, but she was a legend for sure. Chick would talk about her on the air. Casey called Chick Stu. Stu Lance, also a legend. D-Dub and I were talking about that the other day. I don't remember. There was some angle, some Laker angle that we were looking for. I'm like, man, we should get Stu on. Stu has not been on the program in a long, long time. If there's somebody you want to hear from, let us know. Speaking of which, the podcast has been really strong. Old man Ritt pulling it out of his backside every single week. Michael Bisping is live. I played back some of the sound bites. I was anxious to reset that for you. Listen to it in its entirety. The entire 45 minutes plus sounds exactly like every one of those bites. And already we're loading up for next week. Hey, old man, can we tease next week's guest or is that not yet firm? 95% firm is 0% firm. Let me know when it's 100% firm. We're not doing that just yet. But so in the meantime, since I have been unable to find Chris Harris, and in the event that I do find him, it may be too late to get him on unless it happens in the next 3 seconds, you can call right now, 1-800-636-8686. I've got other takes that I did not get to, that I may get to tomorrow. I'm trying to get you in here. Like I could easily just rant on for a few more minutes and wrap up the show, but we're having a really good call day, so I'm looking for you to call up. We had Jamal Crawford. We had Tristan Wirfs. I may have missed on Chris Harris Jr. Another big day coming up tomorrow. All right, so Chris is going to be rescheduled. Good friend of the program. We'll find him. Run him down. I love him in that defensive backfield. Love him in the Charger secondary. So we will reset that for you, too. Let's go to Michigan. Dan in Michigan. What's going on, Dan? How are you?
Romy, the pipes of an angel, the lettuce for the big screen, buddy. Hey, I appreciate the OJ stuff, but this is your show, man. You do you, all right? Hey, my take is with Cam Newton, nice segment. I loved it. I wouldn't mind seeing that guy in the Honolulu Blue, man. We do a Taysom Hill, Drew Brees combo, you know, only in Detroit. Stafford, Cam, it's like them on steroids, brother. Come on, give it to me, Macho Man Randy Savage. But hey, I got to also say to you one thing. What is...
Come on, Dan. Dude, you're better than that. You don't need to go there. You're better than that. You don't need to go there. Come on, Dan. Dan. I look forward to seeing your name up on that board. Let's keep it that way. Don't be going there with stuff like that. You're better than that. At least I thought you were. I still kind of think you are. Come on, man. I mentioned it earlier. In fact, I felt so strongly about it that I went with it early in the program. Cam Newton. If not for the mandatory Jacksonville Jaguar opening take, I would have started with Cam. The best show to me right now, the best show on right now is the Cam Newton Show, which is running every single day on his Instagram feed. And the work that he's doing. I'm not saying that you bring a guy in and you hire a guy and give him a contract based on social media. What I'm saying is I can't stop looking at it. It's pumping me up. This dude's hungry. This dude's running on some serious, serious fuel right now. And again, I'm not a doctor. I haven't seen any medical reports. Because I'm not a doctor, if I did see a medical report, I couldn't read it. But what I'm seeing with my two eyes is passing the eye test. The guy looks great. And the other thing that I can kind of measure to a certain extent, I don't know for sure because I can't crack open this guy's head or crack open his heart and see what's inside there. But the way he sounds and the way he looks and the work he's putting in, this dude looks hungry. This dude looks fierce. He looks like he wants it badly. He's got something to prove. He's got a chip on his shoulder. And for that reason, I'd give him a shot. The guy looks great. I can't stop looking at his Instagram page. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Twitter. At Table Slam Family tweets, Jim, at Ritt's age, 95% firm is about as good as it gets. Good point. Good point. Got a friend who's always saying, hey, man, that's as good as it gets. This is as good as it's going to get. That's Ritt. That's basically Ritt's life. Hey, man, I'm like 85. This is as good as it gets. 95% firm is as good as it gets. Rome, you ask how we feel with all of us being on the inside and OJ being on a golf course where none of us are. How do I feel? Safe. Eric from the Big Easy. Well done. That's like a miracle. An OJ take that worked. You ask how we feel with OJ on a golf course and the rest of us being stuck inside. Safe. Good job. All right, really quickly, as this show is about to end, I can now green light you to listen to podcast episode 123 with Michael Bisping. And when you do so, you will get content and stories like this.
When I was in China, when me and Jorge, when we settled it, so to speak, we were in Uruguay. We ended up having a few drinks. And then the next day, we get a taxi to the airport together. So we went from one hand hating each other to the next minute, we're like best buds in the back of an Uber going to the airport. And we're talking about China. And he tells me this story. He said, I went into the bathroom and had this gold chain on. And he said, and two guys walked in and one of them kind of like flicked my gold chain. And he said, I don't know if they're going to rob me or what. He said, so bang, I punched this one guy and knocked him out. Then bang, I punched the other guy and I knocked him out. And he says, and then a third guy comes walking into the bathroom. And he says, I don't know if he was with them or not, but I couldn't take that chance. So bang, and I knocked him out as well. And I'm sitting there in the back of this Uber thinking, you are a psycho. You're a psycho, but you're awesome. I love it.
Michael Bisping fighting with one eye thinks somebody else is a psycho. Bisping's incredible. It's an amazing podcast. As I said, my man can tell a story about himself and about other people. It's episode 123. If you want to know where to find it and you have trouble with that type of thing, go to my Twitter feed. It's pinned. Tristan Wirfs, NFL draft prospect, was a guest. Jamal Crawford was a guest. Another good day, clones. Good job. Good on you. Let's make sure we do it again tomorrow. Finish the week strong. Hit that weekend feeling good about all of us. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you all. See you tomorrow. We're out.